Hey, greetings. This is Brother Jim, don'tperish.com, John 4:24 radio. Hey, I got a topic for you today. It's called sorrow and joy in the midst. You know, Brother Jim just wants to share his heart today. Maybe not so much a teaching, but sharing my heart about what I've learned, what I'm experiencing, what I'm feeling. Serving God and knowing God is a great joy and peace that never fades if you seek after Him. Remember that, and I will remind you about that at the end of this, okay? But sorrow. Yeah, great sorrow has risen up in me more and more of late, and I want to share about that. Doing what we do daily, traveling, van dwelling, preaching in the streets, standing up against the darkness, fighting for truth, preaching righteousness, as Satan's dark grip closes on this culture in these last days, the new world order is rising, antichrist spirit, deception everywhere. We see so many on their way to damnation, lives being destroyed by sin. It's raging. We wake up in van life. We see the homeless. We see drug addicts still choosing their sin, not reaching out for Christ. It's so sad. It's devastating to your soul, to your spirit, and it brings sorrow. All over the nation, we see fear. We see these sad, masked faces. Everyone's gripped with fear, and the media's telling you death is on every doorstep, practically. People are too selfish to reach out for God's hope. They're doing their own thing. We're laboring hard every day. And just as Jesus said, there's only going to be few that will come to the saving knowledge. Now, we don't see all that will come. Who knows all the seeds we try to plant, what God's going to grow, what He's going to do behind the scenes. So we only see a small portion of it, right? That's what I'm kind of talking about here. We see a small portion of it, so it's great sorrow when you see all this death and destruction and fear and rebellion against God. And if you don't have sorrow when you're out doing ministry full-time, out in the world, there's no shelter out here. The only place of shelter we get is in our little van when we hunker down for the night. If you don't feel sorrow for what's going on in the world and in America, your heart is dead. You also realize the longer you walk with the Lord and the more ministry you do, the more pouring out you do. The other thing that brings great sorrow is the closer you get to God's truth and to eternity, you really get a sense for how far me and mankind are from His holiness. What God deserves in us, humans, created in His image, that fell and rebelled. It can never be expressed fully here. We can never have what this Creator God deserves. We're fallen, and I mourn over that in my life. As I see it all around the world, I mourn. It's sad. It brings sorrow. Now, I do push on. I do my utmost for my King every day. Fighting sin, killing the old man, the flesh, striving on, repenting, turning from all sin when it rises up. The sorrow comes when I see that in mankind, the death, the destruction. I see the world, I see government, family, culture, people of so-called faith, the lost people, so-called churches, so-called godly teachers. I see them practicing sin, falling into sin, keeping sin. It all leads to death. They're doing their own way, and it all leads to death, as Proverbs says. And this brings a great sorrow. It's sadness that rests upon the soul of a person that sees it. Now, it's a natural emotion. You see good and evil playing out. For a season, you're seeing evil winning much. Death and destruction all around you. as you love mankind, you love your fellow man. It's a great, one of the great commands, to love God and to love your neighbor. So I just want to read some scriptures to you about sorrow. Sometime I'll read scriptures about joy, but I'm going to read some scriptures to you about sorrow. In Hebrew, the word sorrow is, it's teshabin, I think it, pain. It means pain, labor, hardship, and toil. Well, you say, Brother Jim, why are you so sorrowful? Well, there's a lot of reasons. When you're a spiritual person striving for the things of Christ and you're seeing evil, you're seeing sin, there's sorrow that comes from this. Jesus was a man of sorrows. Isaiah 53:3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. He was a man of sorrows. Now, to know God's righteousness and to not have sorrow over mankind, that would be great, showing a great lack of wisdom. All the saints in the scriptures that we read about, or many of the saints, knew sorrow. Ecclesiastes 7:3, sorrow is better than laughter, for by sadness of the countenance the heart is made better. So there's a little positive spin on this sorrow that I feel. Job 9:28, I'm afraid of all my sorrows, and I know that thou wilt not hold me innocent. There's that knowing how sinful and wicked mankind is, knowing how great and holy God is. Job 17:7, mine eye also is dim by reason of sorrow, and all my members are as a shadow. That's kind of how I feel sometimes. I can relate to Job there. Sadness, darkness, because of sorrow. Psalm 38:17, for I am ready to halt, and my sorrow is continually before me. You know, one of the things I want to talk about is a broken spirit, humble, meek, lowly, is a good thing to have as a follower of Christ, to have a broken spirit. And sorrow brings you there in a place where then God can then work in you and lift you up by his truth and his word. Psalm 69:29, but I am poor and sorrowful, let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. So there's that sorrow, then there's joy right behind it because of our salvation. So you're going to see a pattern here of the sorrow and the joy that I'm kind of talking about, and I'll lead into that. Ecclesiastes 1:18, for in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increased knowledge increased sorrow. Think about that. The more you know about the world and sin, the more you know about God's righteousness and holiness, the more sorrow you're going to have, because it's a very sad situation that man has fallen as far as he has and rejects what Christ has done. So the more knowledge you have, the more sorrow. If you just stick your head in the sand, you can have some fake joy, but God will never build on that sorrow. And it's a great thing to give those sorrows to God, that broken heart to God, and then let him mend it with his truth, his spirit, and his word. Jeremiah 20:18, wherefore came I forth out of the womb to see labor and sorrow, that my days should be consumed with shame. He's talking about the brokenness, sinfulness of man. Now we're going to move on to the New Testament. In the Greek, the word sorrow is lupe. It means pain, grief, and mourning. Matthew 26:37-38, and he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then he said unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Jesus knows at this point he's going to be tortured and murdered. He had great sorrow. The creator of the universe knew sorrow as a human. Just consider that. Mark 13:8, for nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. That's what's going to come in these last days. As Jesus said in Matthew 24, birth pains on a woman. We're going to see great sorrow that's going to build. And if people would funnel that sorrow correctly, that fear, if they'd turn to God, he can heal them, mend them, lift them up. He can work with a broken, contrite spirit, not pride and arrogance. Luke 18:23. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. This is about the rich man where Jesus says, hey, go get rid of your money and follow me. He couldn't do it because he loved his money more than he loved God. He was sorrowful, and that sorrow took him away from God. We can have sorrow that leads us to God and his truth. You see what I'm saying? If we'll be broken and bring it before God. John 16, 5 and 6. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you ask me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Imagine you're with Jesus, and he says, I got to go. You can't go with me. Wow, what sorrow they must have had. But you know what? The Holy Spirit came right behind that, didn't it? Yeah. And it lifted them up, gave them peace and joy. How about Romans 9, 2? That I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Here, Paul's heart is broken because of the Israelites that he was one and their rejection of God and Christ. He was sorrowful, but God used that in a mighty way to use Paul to establish the New Testament body. 2 Corinthians 6:10, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Hey, there's a flip around on the sorrow, right? We can be sorrow, we can be joyful, we can be poor, yet we have much. There's that balance I'm talking about between having a broken spirit and having sorrow for people and the world and the destruction and damnation that's coming upon most everyone. But then joy when you hear about what Christ has done, the few that are following him and how he's going to be glorified in the future. 2 Corinthians 7:9. Now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry. Now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye may receive damage by us in nothing. Again, talking about sorrowed to repentance. We can use our sorrow to bring us to repentance. The Word of God talks about godly sorrow leads to repentance. This is how we can be used to draw us closer to God. 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Yep, if you let your flesh and your desires of your life, pride of life, lust of the eyes, desire for money, you're going to bring much more sorrow upon yourself. And that's a sorrow God can't work with until you're broken, you turn away from it, and then let God build you up. And you'll have other sorrows. You'll mourn over your sin, you'll mourn over your family, you'll mourn over the world, but then God can work with that sorrow and he can lift you up. I guess I'm just trying to share with you that the life of a street preacher of righteousness is what I strive to preach, and his wife, my partner. You have to be tough. You have to strive on through a lot of darkness, through a lot of trials. There's very few friendlies out here in this darkness that we see every single day all around us. Now, this thing that I do know is unless the preacher has mercy and love and a broken heart for souls and sorrow for what he sees, he's useless to a Redeemer God. I can be tough as nails. I can be unmoved in my spirit and in my feelings. But then God can't use me as much as he could if I'm broken. There comes that sorrow I'm talking about. I want to see everybody come to the knowledge of Christ, but only a few I know ever will. My heart's broken over this. Sometimes I don't want to get up and do what I do because I know so many are going to reject what we're doing. And I know, this I do know, that more often when I preach, it's to people's condemnation than to their salvation. And that's hard to carry out. But I have to do it for the glory of God. Now, We do have great joy in our salvation. That's unmatched. But the labor to share this precious gift, it turns to sorrow daily when you see it trampled. Jesus' blood and what he did trampled by not only the world, but by religious people as well. Just happened today when we stood out at a religious building. They serve a false Jesus and they trample the risen one. Now, you know, sometimes I want to give up and go home. Why am I doing this? I say to Sister Debbie. So few want to listen. And I know that joy would be greatly propagated if I sat on my porch in Missouri and went fishing down by the lake right there in our backyard. But then I realized that unless I have a constant balance of joy and sorrow, like I'm talking about here, I'm not really much good to God. I'm not much good to my lost neighbor, and I'm really not living a biblical, spirit-led life, constantly straddling between this sorrow and this joy that God gives and takes away, and he uses it to grow us into holy people of God. So I want to be clear, I am exceedingly sorrowful these days. There's no doubt about that. But I'm also joyful about these last days. I'm joyful in so many ways. I'm sorrowful, though, as I can't take more souls with me into his kingdom and nurture them, disciple them, and take care of them. Every day we see Satan's system rising, his Antichrist system, and it's swallowing up people. Most of them are rejecting salvation. Yeah, some spring up. We see some spring up, and then most of them fall away as quick as they sprang up. And my Jesus, my Lord, told me it would be just that way. My wife reminds me all the time that it would be just that way. But then I have this untold joy, knowing my Savior, knowing what he's done for me, knowing that he's coming as these days are getting darker, and no man can take my salvation, that my house and myself are secure if we'll endure in him, and those seeking him that we know of, that are striving in holiness, that we get to look after, they have this hope too. What a great joy and what a great excitement. So there's that sorrow I was just talking about a second ago, that so many reject him and trample him, and I know when I preach it's to their condemnation. On judgment day, I look in their face and I know that God's going to say, my worker told you the truth and you didn't listen. That's the sorrow. But then the joy when I see someone grab God's truth and run with it and their life is transformed and they have the hope of eternal life to come. Oh, this is that sorrow and that joy that I'm talking about. Hey, let me leave you with a great hope, okay? John 16, 21, 22. And a woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, Jesus said, because her hour has come. But as soon as she has delivered the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for the joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man will take from you. Wow, is that glorious? Sorrow. But then he says, I will see you again. Remember the Savior. Isaiah 53:4 says, surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Think of what he did for us. And then see how the world tramples his blood and his message and his truth. That brings the great sorrow, and that's what strives, pushes a street preacher on, looking for the one sheep. Today I went sheep hunting, preaching in the world, looking for one sheep to listen to God's word. I'm going to leave you with Revelation 21:4. This is glorious. Let's end with joy, okay, folks? Revelation 21:4. God shall wipe away all their tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. Oh, I'm telling you what joy we're going to have in eternity. My brothers and sisters bring me great joy. even though they're few in number. And when I go into the world and I see little children's faces and they smile at the name of Jesus, I have great joy. And you know what? God carries me through and lifts me above that sorrow. So I hope today that you have both this great sorrow and great joy in your life. And then God can use you, lift you up, build you up, work with you. You can be used to glorify Him. Test yourself, will you? Do you have that great sorrow and joy in your life? Hey, we love you all. Let us know how we can help you in the faith. We're striving on. We're going to get up tomorrow and push on, and we're going to keep going. God's going to use that sorrow in us. Keep us going. Mold us. Keep us clinging to Him. And we're looking for that joy when Christ returns. His day, that day of the Lord is coming. Hey, till next time. You go out and have a glorious day. Let me know I can help you in the faith. May God be praised.